Well, good morning, everyone. And welcome to our special remembrance service. I'm hoping our trumpeter might arrive. He's been down at the War Memorial doing the last post there, so he's rushing up. And that's Kevin Bonacorsi McIlreavy. It's Kathleen and Harry's son-in-law. There'll be a retiral offering today for the Poppy Appeal. And you'll be pleased to know that down at the War Memorial, on a perfect day for it, there was the biggest crowd I can ever remember. So it was quite impressive. This year we're being asked to think about the role of animals in warfare, and there must have been over a dozen horses there today with riders on them in full military outfits. I think of films being made of the Salt Coats War Memorial event. Last year, we had the most wreaths laid other than the city of Glasgow. At 2 o'clock today, we have the Arranview Care Home Remembrance Service. And if anybody would like to come, you're most welcome. I appreciate the choir coming every time. The thoughts for the day this week are all on the theme of remembrance, and they're by myself. The Guild's talk is by Alec Hall, who's talking about Flanders. Next Sunday is the deadline for the December-January parish record. I'd just like to say a happy birthday to Liz Shirley, but I don't see her. And just to let you know that the man who organises the War Memorial Parade, Paul Coffey, has also started up a veterans group in Salt Coats. They meet every Monday at 9 o'clock for a breakfast in the Melbourne Cafe. If you know any veterans or you are a veteran, you're welcome to come at 9 o'clock at the Melbourne Cafe. He's also started just a fortnight ago a radio program by veterans and for veterans. It's called Veterans Voices, on Thursdays, 2 o'clock, and Friday at 3 o'clock on 3TFM. These are all the intimations. As soldiers are summoned to the parade ground by the Commander-in-Chief, so we come today to church to worship God. So let us sing to his praise and glory in hymn 534, For All the Saints. It's a long hymn, so we'll just sing verses 1 to 4 and verses 6 and 8. 1 to 4, 6 and 8 of 534. We're pleased to have our trumpeter with us, Kevin Bonacorsi McIlreavy, who in a moment will be asked to play it. But I want to call you to the silence with these thoughts. At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918, the armistice was signed, bringing to an end the fighting in the First World War. 100 years ago, in 1919, the war officially ended with the signing of the Treaty of Versailles. 80 years ago, in 1939, the Second World War started. It lasted till 1945. 30 years ago, in 1989, the Berlin Wall came down. Then the Soviet Union collapsed and there was a thaw in the Cold War. This year, in 2019, we have wars in Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, all over the world. And there are civil wars and street protests in Hong Kong, Barcelona, Venezuela, all over. We have our own conflicts near our home with Brexit. We face terrorism, people trafficking and slavery, abuse and violence, cyber wars, bullying online. Individuals, groups, nations, the whole world, we're at war with each other and we're at war within ourselves. We face climate change, poverty, pollution, drugs, diseases, crime. We need to fight the good fight in every generation. We stand here right now to remember and to give thanks for all those who in the past have fought the good fight, run the race, and kept the faith. And we stand here right now to commit ourselves to doing the same. And so we remember. This year we're particularly asked to think about the involvement of animals in warfare. Mice were used to detect fuel vapors in submarines. Horses, mules, donkeys, camels, elephants were used in cavalry, carrying loads, pulling guns, transporting troops. Mascots have included dogs, cats, foxes, rats, magpies. Pigeons carried messages. Canaries were used to detect poisonous gases. So let us join with countless millions of people all around the world who've been doing this for over 100 years now, and with those in heaven as well as on earth. Let us remember the tragedy and the cost of war, the loss of loved ones, our own and other people's, the sacrifices which others have made for us. Let us remember and be grateful for the peace, the freedom, the blessings which they have secured for us, and how God has brought us through all things. If you are able, will you please stand? Let us remember. Thank you. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we shall remember them. Please be seated. When you go home, tell them and say, "For your tomorrow, we gave our today." Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in grateful remembrance. You have led us through many experiences. You have brought us through dark tunnels and deep valleys. In all our trials and tribulations, you have walked with us step by step, shoulder to shoulder. You are our constant traveling companion on the journey of life, as well as the one who waits to give us welcome at journey's end. You laugh with us when we laugh. You weep with us when we weep. You share in all our ups and downs, our joys and sorrows. And more wonderfully still, you allow us to share in your life and ministry and ups and downs. Merciful and gracious Lord God, when we think of your love and commitment to us, and when we think of the love and commitment of other people to us, we are humbled and ashamed of all the times when our love toward you and our love towards our neighbor wavers. In times of need, we cry to you, but then we forget to say thank you. And when others need our help, it's not always forthcoming. We celebrate and give thanks for our rich heritage of faith and civil liberties. We give thanks for those who stood up and were counted, who fought the good fight faithfully, who lived and sacrificed and died for our benefit. But sometimes when it comes to our turn, we're found wanting. Forgive us. And give us more moral fiber and raw courage. Give us wisdom to know what to do and the courage to be able to do it. Give us compassionate eyes to see with, loving hearts to feel with, clear minds to think with, and willing hands to serve with. So help us to love one another as you have loved us, and to forgive one another as you have forgiven us. And bless us in this time of worship now. Help us to remember you and others in the deepest sense of the word, by a lifetime of devotion and service, and by actions as well as words. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thanks very much, Kevin, for coming and for making it. And thanks for playing on our behalf down at the War Memorial. So how are you guys today? Good. So have you all got a poppy? And you've seen the different kinds of badges, yeah? And you've seen the wreath up here. There were lots of wreaths today. Say, last year there were 60 wreaths laid. I don't know how many this year, but just as many, I would think. You've even got a flag. Show me your flag then. What does it say? Poppy Scotland. Right, very nice. And what's this you've got? Pop's Place. Right. Do you understand what we're doing in Remembrance Sunday and all this about the poppies? Have you been hearing about it in school and things? Any stab at it? You know what it's about? Your great-grandpa, he died in the war. Was he a soldier or a sailor or airman or soldier? Do you know where he died? In Belgium. Was that the Second World War? Right. You see, the wars that we're thinking of was world wars and affected people all around the world. And for everyone that died, there was big families thinking about that one. So it really did affect everybody. In fact, we're being asked to think about this year how it affected even animals. Because you can't have war without animals getting sucked into it as well, in all kinds of ways. Things I was saying earlier. But I'm just thinking you might be a bit confused with the whole process here. Because I'm sure you're told not to fight. You're told not to fight. And we're thinking about all these people who are fighting. So that maybe doesn't quite add up in your mind, huh? Well, the answer to that is there's a right time to fight and a wrong time to fight. There's a right reason to fight and a wrong reason to fight. There's a right way to fight and a wrong way to fight. It's not as black and white simple as just don't fight or fight. When might it be the right time to fight? Sometimes people in discussing this call it a just war or a holy war. It's not very often there's a right time to fight, but just occasionally there can be. Have you any thoughts on what it might be is the right time to fight? See, sometimes people fight just because they've lost the head and they're angry and they've lost patience and they feel aggressive and violent and they hit out. That's the wrong way to fight. But there might be a right time to fight when you're doing it with a clear thinking mind and you've thought about what you're doing and you've decided to do it. Millions and millions of people down the years have gone to war, not so much because they've lost patience and got violent about it, but because they were fighting for something. Not just against something, but for something. For the right cause. See, if somebody was to come into Saltcoats, to conquer Saltcoats, and be a dictator, and run our lives, and be bullying, and throwing their weight around, there might be an argument there for standing up and fighting back, and not letting them do it. There are people doing that today called criminals. So we get police to chase the criminals. That's fighting back against crime. We have diseases and we have doctors and nurses fighting against the diseases. We've got teachers fighting against ignorance, trying to teach folk. We've got the church here, Salvation Army, trying to bring another way to look at life, folks. How about love rather than hate? Loving Jesus. Follow him. In our own heads, every day we battle away. The wee devil and the wee angel. Be good, be bad. And we wrestle with ourselves. Life is a battle. It's a matter of being on the right side, fighting for the right reasons, for the right things, in the right way. It's not easy to work it out. I'll give you one practical example from my own life. I was in primary 3, and a boy in my class, Charles Patterson, he just lived a couple of doors down the street. We played football together. But for some unknown reason, Charles decided to punch the people. We happened to be standing in a line in the playground, and he punched somebody, then he punched the next one, and the next one, and they just stood there getting punched. And then it occurred to me, I'll be getting next. So I did a quick prayer, the usual sort of prayer. Jesus, help. What do I do? Because one side of my head was my parents in the church. Don't fight. But he's going to hit me. the other side was saying, well, hit him before he hits you. Run away at least. And in a split second, I had time to pray, think of my options, and I got the answer to my prayer. You know what I did? No. That's maybe a good idea to move out of the way, yes. You see, when people are in a problem like that, they talk about they either fight or flee. So one side of the, if you ask people's opinion, one side would say, move away. The other folk would say, well, hit him before he hits you. But I didn't do either of those. What were you going to say? Right, see, there you go, illustrates my point. So you either flee or you fight. There's a middle way. So in a split second, I got the answer, the clever answer. The more you think about it, the harder it is to answer it. It's a parable. What does the government do if another country attacks Britain? What does anybody do in any level of life, right? So you can surrender, lie down, or flee. You can fight. Or he took his hand back to punch, and just when he was on the backswing, I jumped on him, pushed him down, and sat on him. I didn't punch him, I didn't hit him, I didn't fight, but he was being sat on, and he couldn't do anything about it. So he couldn't hit me. And I just sat until the bell went, and everybody went back to their class, and there were just the two of us in the playground, so we just got up and we walked back into class. No more was said, and we were friends ever after. It was kind of a draw. Well, that's sometimes what we have to do in life. You have to stand up and fight to stop something wrong happening. You might not change the other people or not, but you stop the wrong, and if you can, you promote the good and the right. Well, I'll leave it at that, because we all have our own different issues, and God gave us brains to work it out. But today we're thinking about people before us, and people right now around the world who are wrestling with issues, trying to work these things out. But I would just suggest you always ask Jesus, what do you want me to do now? Because he does answer. Let's sing together 448. Just as I am thine own to be. 448.
Just as I am.
Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 10. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you, so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we're not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready with truth as a belt, tight round your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you'll be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. And turning to Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 32. Should I go on? There isn't enough time for me to speak of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith they fought whole countries and won. They did what was right and received what God had promised. In chapter 12, verse 1. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses round us. So then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way, and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. Amen, and thanks be to God. Let's sing hymn 484, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble.
Thank you.
In 1914, as they were recruiting folk for the First World War, there was a poster featuring the face of Lord Kitchener with his finger pointing, saying, "Your king and country need you." And the poster was such that if you walked past it, his eyes seemed to follow you. Millions of people responded and joined the armed forces in 1914 because the king and the country needed them. One person was a young man, a teenager, from my home village in Inverallachie in Aberdeenshire. He was getting ready to leave, marching off to war like so many others, when his father gave him a last piece of advice. "Look, son, when you go over there, don't get distracted with anything else. Just shoot the Kaiser. If you shoot the Kaiser, that'll sort out the war." We smile at the naivety in that. We wish that all of life's problems could be so easily solved. We sometimes think that with our modern weapons, with the precision bombers, if we just get Osama bin Laden, bing, that would end Al-Qaeda. It didn't. Last week, Donald Trump was celebrating that we went ping to the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. But you can bet your boots it's not the end of ISIS. We thought it was the end when we got Saddam Hussein. It was said in the Second World War that it's not so much that Adolf Hitler made the whole of Germany Nazi. It was that there was a mood in the whole of Germany that produced Adolf Hitler, Adolf Schickelgruber. But if it hadn't been him, it would have been another Hitler. It's not the leader makes the people, it's the people produce the leader. If you cut the dandelion head, but leave the rest of the dandelion, you can be sure you'll get another dandelion head. You can't stop evil by just chopping off the heads. They tried to cut down Martin Luther King. It didn't stop the civil rights movement. They tried to kill the early Christians with either feeding them to lions or burning them at the stake. The more they killed the Christians, the more the Christianity spread. Crucifying Jesus was thought to nip it in the bud. Jesus had said, "If I be lifted up on a cross, I will draw all men to myself." And when the Kaiser and his troops shot dead that young man from Inverallachie, it didn't stop others joining the armed services to fight. I remember as a schoolboy in Fraserburgh Academy, the Fraserburgh lifeboat was sunk and all of the crew lost their lives. Within hours, they had a new crew. You remember in 9/11 in 2001, 300 firefighters and police were killed going to the Twin Towers. Within days, they had replaced all 300 posts. Whether it's good or evil, you can't kill it by cutting off the heads. People will step into the shoes, whether it's the lifeboat crew or whether it's ISIS terrorists. History teaches us that we have to win not only individual little battles, we have to win the whole war. And even more important, we have to win the peace. It's arguable that in 1914 to 18, we won the war and then went on to lose the peace in the Treaty of Versailles, sowing the seeds of the Second World War. So what's the moral to the tale? It is no good just running around chopping off dandelion heads. What we need is to get to the root of things, address the underlying causes, to the core, the jugular, tackle things at the fundamental level. Don't just pull out a few weeds, but radically redesign the garden. Prepare the soil, double dig, constantly be vigilant, keep weeding. Hard work's employed. Indeed, I would go as far as say we should perhaps win the peace before we engage in the war. You have to know what you're fighting for, how you're going to do it, and what you're trying to achieve. You thatch your cottage before it rains. We should prevent little children growing up into big hooligans. Get them at the little children stage. Don't wait till they are big hooligans. But how does that translate into daily life? Well, don't just go to the dentist when your toothache becomes totally unbearable. Why don't you have 6 monthly checkups? Why don't you eat more sensibly? Brush your teeth every day. Prevention's better than cure. And the same with the doctor. Why are we so reluctant to promote good health of body, of mind, of spirit? We're always in crisis at the end of the crisis rather than preventative. I had a phone call this morning from a woman in the area who's got 6 children. Her husband's left her and she doesn't know what to do. It's always at the crisis end. We're in danger as a society of being silver-spooned, fat cat, couch potatoes, full of pain avoidance, cowardliness, soft and easy. What we remember today, what we honour and admire today, are people who got up off their couch, stood up and were counted, who fought for, suffered pain for, even died for, the betterment of this world. If we admire it, let us in our time and place, in our generation, do it as well. The real struggle we have today is not really with international countries invading us, or even international terrorists infiltrating us. The real struggle today is that basic struggle within us, within each of us, as Dolly Parton would say, the halos and horns, the wee devil, the wee angel. And that struggle within society for the hearts and souls and minds of everyone. And the issues that we as a global village world have to tackle and face. We have to resist temptation, but more than that, exercise self-control. We have to oppose evil, but more than that, do good. We have to stand up against injustice, but more than that, let's champion justice. Let's not do bad, but much more than that, let's do good. We bite our lip, yes, but more than that, let's open our mouth and speak out. Let's not hate, but let's positively love. Let us endure what we have to endure, but let us carry the fight when it's right and proper. Let's die to self and live to Jesus. Let's curb our self-will and let's pray, thy will be done. And so we pray, Lord, change this world I'm living in, but let it begin with me. What the world needs today, as in every generation, is people who are willing, at great cost to themselves, to fight the good fight, run the race, and keep the faith. They are the unsung heroes, the core people, the people who keep things going, upon whom the couch potatoes and all the slothful parasites depend. The faithful stalwarts who keep family life together, who keep youth organizations going, who are the life of the community, the congregation, the nation. As the book of Hebrews says, life is like a relay race. We have our lap of the track, and then we go into the grandstand and cheer our successors on as they carry the baton that we have carried, that we inherited from our forefathers. Let us work in our time and place for the carrying of the baton. Let's pass on the baton with interest. Let's work for a better world. Let's work for health of body, mind, and soul. Let's work against principalities and powers. Let's work to honour our heritage of faith. Let's work to honour and serve Jesus. We thank God that in the fight, it's actually his fight, and he just asks us to help where we can in it. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is the resurrection, he is the bounce back ability. He's got what it takes to enable us to be when ordinary people stand up to do extraordinary things. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we dedicate this offering and with it ourselves to your service. Amen. Let's sing hymn 442, Fight the Good Fight. 442. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thought that the trench warfare and the First World War would never come to an end. We thought the nightly blitz of cities in the Second World War would never end. We thought the Berlin Wall and the Cold War would never end. We thought that Northern Ireland would never have a Good Friday Agreement and Chuckle Brothers. But we remember that they did happen. And so we celebrate and we thank you. As Shakespeare said, there is a tide in the affairs of men. And we know that you control the tides. We remember, Jesus, how you said that your hour was not yet. Your hour was not yet. And then you said, your hour has come. The time is now right. And we remember in the Bible that the walls of Jericho fell. The Great Wall of China has fallen. Hadrian's Wall has fallen. The Berlin Wall has fallen. Walls of prejudice, feuds, ignorance, bitterness, stubbornness, they do fall. You change the world, and you invite us into your life and ministry, and you empower us by your Holy Spirit, and you help us to engage with collective efforts together. You give us the power to ride the tides. You give us the power of prayer. You give us the power of being part of your will and purpose. We think of the tide in the sense of the Me Too movement, Extinction Rebellion, Greta Thunberg, other tides, civil rights movements, anti-slavery movements. Lord, enable us in our time and generation to stand up and be counted, to fight the good fight, to run the race, to keep the faith. As our baptismal service puts it, help us to be your soldiers and servants unto our life's end. And hear us as we pray our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Morag Conway, Margaret Curlett, Beth McCracken, Nancy McBride, George Murray, Linda Murphy. We pray for those who are bereaved. Grant to them your peace. We pray for remembrance services all around the world today. We pray for the people suffering flooding in England. We pray for your wisdom and guidance in our forthcoming election and in the Brexit discussions. We celebrate the fall of the Berlin Wall 30 years ago yesterday. And we pray for the people in Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, who are still in the wars. We think of people in Hong Kong, or Barcelona, or Santiago. We think of the Spanish general election today. And we think of your church around the world. As a presbytery, we think of Kilbirnie Old Kirk, the interim moderator, the Reverend David Watson, and the Loka Marchi Curry. We pray for our own life and ministry here, and for your people everywhere. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 479, Who is on the Lord's Side? 479. Sunday. thine own life blood for thy diadem. Forth into the world to love the Lord and serve the people, to love the people and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore.